On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Your boy, downtown Connor Brown, re-signs with the Maple Leafs. Nice midsummer move. Let's get into it. Hey, good Monday morning. Unforced errors number 56. Matt Robinson with you on the Tall Can Audio Network, tallcanaudio.com, at Tall Can Audio on Twitter. Let us know what you think about anything we've been churning out here lately. Always love to talk to some of you. Riding solo right now. We got more of the usual stuff to come this week. Rob is on vacation. He has abandoned you, something I would never do. I'm here for you. I care for you, and I would never leave you lonely. But Rob, yeah, he doesn't care. He's gone. Not to worry. Before he left, we did lay down a couple of shows for you guys. Lots to come here over the course of the next week and beyond. But Rob will return after the Labor Day weekend. Can you believe we are in the last week of summer? It feels, at least in the Northeast here, like we did not exactly have a summer, but we are coming down the stretch. Some of you getting ready to return to work, return to school, get your kids back to school, whatever might be going on. Hope you can enjoy one more week here with a little bit of decent weather, hopefully, before life goes right back in the shitter for just about everybody. On that positive note, the Toronto Maple Leafs re-sign restricted free agent Connor Brown, your boy, to a three-year, $6.3 million deal. So obviously an annual cap hit of 2.1 per. And that is a sweetheart of a deal for this team. Connor Brown is a 20-goal guy, at least in his rookie season. So nothing to sneeze at there. A couple of things to get into as we take a look at this. First being, if Connor Brown, in any year for almost, you know, essentially the last 50 years, had scored 20 goals in a rookie, 20 goals as a rookie, we would be over the moon. He would be touted as the greatest Toronto Maple Leafs rookie since Dave Keon. Maybe. I don't know who to get. Mike Johnson, right? Remember that guy? Anyway. 20 goals, only 36 points, which is a little, but, you know, 20 goals, not bad. The problem is that put him like fourth in rookie scoring on the Leafs last year with that outstanding rookie class the team went through the 16-17 season with, led by Austin Matthews, of course, William Nylander and Mitch Marner. So he kind of flew under the radar. How many guys can you be over the moon at a time? Well, I tell you, I was over the moon about Connor Brown. This isn't one of those, I always knew, I didn't want to. No, he's had to prove a lot of people wrong. But I love Connor Brown's game. To the point where back in July, there was this huge jersey sale going on this website that I like. And I'm kicking it around, and I'm looking at it, and there's an Austin Matthews, and there's a Mitch Marner, and there's whatever. But I can't, I'm looking at the Connor Brown, right? I don't want to be like everybody else. I, you know, Rob gets all upset all the time on the sports shows when I bring up Connor Brown. But his stats, you know, they put him high for a rookie in terms of, you know, most rookie seasons. He was also had to, you know, outside of Toronto, he was up against Patrick Laine and some other pretty good kids across the league who's at Zach Werenski in Columbus. So he didn't get a ton of attention, but there's always, you've always got those guys, right? Everybody's got somebody away from the superstar that you're kind of drawn to. And for me, I'm high on Connor Brown so far. So I was excited to see that this was getting done. There was no chance that they weren't going to re-sign him, but it was getting odd that it hadn't happened yet. The other thing, if you're wondering, that kept me from picking up one of his jerseys, if I knew or so confident he was going to be re-signed, I had no idea what the hell number he was going to wear. As Patrick Marleau signs with the Leafs, he's a veteran. Normally, they kind of, when they move teams, a lot of the young guys will offer up the jersey number. And he also wore the same number 12 that Connor Brown wore last year. And so I was pretty sure that Brown would be giving up that 12 for Marleau. And no one had said anything yet in terms of where that was going to leave him. Last week, that finally changed. Marleau will indeed wear number 12. Kasperi Kapanen fits into this for some reason. He had been wearing number 28. He is switching to 24 to celebrate or to honor his father, who played in the NHL for a very long time. Many of you will remember Sammy Kapanen scoring a huge goal against the Leafs in the 04 playoffs as the Flyers defeated us. Yeah. So he's moving from 28 to 24. Connor Brown moves from 12 to 28. I don't really like 28. To me, that'll always be Ty Domi's number, even though Colt Norris stepped in there for a while. I don't know. So that's kind of cooled me on the jersey thing. It's not like I sails over and whatever. I'm not imminently looking at a jersey, but I don't know. Moving to 28 has cooled me for some reason on the Connor Brown front. But whatever. We didn't really come here to talk about jerseys. So he gets a 3-year deal, $2.1 million per season. One of the things that seems to be bugging a lot of people or that has jumped out at people online is that he is now making less than Zach Hyman. Zach Hyman scored 8 less points and 10 less goals and got to play with Austin Matthews all season. Hyman has a 4-year deal at 2.25 per. We call that the Matt Molson contract. Good to have two of those, certainly. The main reason that I can think of, you know, Steve Dangle pointed out in his video that Zach Hyman is an older player, and so you're buying up unrestricted free agent years. And those cost you more. If you become an unrestricted free agent and you're any good, typically you make a little bit more than market value. You know, the bidding gets ramped up a little bit. I don't know what kind of bidding there would be on the open unrestricted market for Zach Hyman, but that's kind of the theory that goes into re-signing your own guys. When you're buying their unrestricted free agent years, it costs you a little more than when you're buying their restricted free agent years where they can't really go anywhere. So that's what's happened there. They had to buy a couple of those, so the price goes up just a little bit. When Brown's deal expires, he will have 1 year left. Arbitration eligible. I'm tripping all over my... Can you tell it's Monday morning? I'm tripping all over myself here. He will have 1 year left with arbitration eligibility and still is a restricted free agent. So technically here, the Leafs have re-signed their own guy who couldn't have gone anywhere anyway. And so Brown doesn't have as much negotiating leverage as Hyman did in that situation. So that's why it's a little bit lower. I think this is a steal of a contract for a couple of reasons. So let's look at it here. Connor Brown last year played on all four lines. And Babcock didn't shuffle his lines a whole lot. If you think about it, Austin Matthews played with Zach Hyman all year. And the only other two guys that saw any time on that line with them were William Nylander and Connor Brown. And Brown could keep up. He showed that. He potted 20 goals. Playing about half the season with Austin Matthews. I'm not saying that he played the full, he would have gotten to 40 goals, but you can be sure he would have gotten a couple of more. So he moved around a bit. While Mitch Marner was injured, he played on that Bozak JVR line. has enough of a scoring touch. He can do some things pretty well there. So he fit not too bad there. Played during the playoffs and down the stretch a little bit with Kadri and Komarov on kind of that third line, that checking line. And you call it that, even though the center on it, Nazem Kadri, had 30 goals. But they were kind of counted on to do it all. They were supposed to be solid in their own end, and they were. They're supposed to put up some points, and they did. So he fit there, and when there wasn't a great fit for him early on, and while he was bouncing around a little bit, he played on the fourth line. Now, that's not where I would want him. He's shown he's above that. But he's also shown he can play those tougher minutes and you know, be in his own end a lot and do those things. So, very versatile player for someone who's that young. I'm really intrigued to see where he's going to fit this year, but he has shown that he can kind of fit wherever he needs to, which is great. Some of the other things about Connor Brown, wasn't used a great deal, but showed he could kill penalties. And that's something that he's probably going to have to do this season, right? When you start to look at it, I guess Dominic Moore is going to kill some penalties. But you lost Brian Boyle, who was a major part of doing that. Matt Molson's not really capable of doing it. They don't appear to want Matthews, Nylander, or Marner to do it. So it's kind of right now, looks like Dominic Moore, Leo Komarov, and Zach Hyman. Well, you need more than that, right? You need more forwards than that. And I wouldn't be surprised if Connor Brown starts to see some more of those minutes. Patrick Marleau isn't going to be that guy. You know, Bozak is okay on the face-off, but after that, they don't really love him out there. It's not going to be JVR, right? So you run out of bodies in a hurry in terms of forwards who are going to kill penalties. I would imagine Connor Brown is going to be one of those guys. Finding power play time on this team isn't easy, but he's shown he can do that too. And Babcock did go to him on that second unit from time to time. So very versatile guy. And like I said, more people would be very excited about a rookie scoring 20 goals if he hadn't followed three other rookies doing the exact same thing. So in fact, he finished with more goals than Marner by one. Marner had far more assists and points, right? But in terms of goal scoring, this is, like I said, this is a great value deal for the Leafs. The other thing to think about is, as we go down this road, you know, William Nylander is going to get a new contract, you know, if not in the next couple of months and certainly after next season. And then you're looking at Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner also right around that same time, all needing deals. And the cap gets tight in a hurry, and it might start, you know, as early as that third year of Connor Brown's deal. So it's extremely important, if he's going to show that he's a 20-ish goal guy, that he still be under control that year at a pretty low price. Now, once all those deals kick in and you get that first year with Connor Brown still at 2.1, if he has shown that he is going to be that guy, then he's going to need a substantial raise. Whether or not the Leafs are going to be able to give it to him remains to be seen, but someone will. This is one of those deals where you bet on yourself a little bit. All right, I'll play for 3 years on this young up-and-coming team. It's my hometown team. You can see how excited he is to be a Leaf. He scored that big goal against Pittsburgh that got Toronto into the playoffs. Looked pretty goddamn excited, like a lot of us. So that's cool, right, that he's a hometown guy and he wants to be here. He wants to do it. If he's going to turn out to be a substantial offensive contributor, he might be the odd man out, which would be sad, like I said, as the hometown guy, but that's how business works sometimes. And at that point, you've given guys like Timoshov, you've given guys like Jeremy Bracco, right? Some of these young kids that you've drafted another 2 or 3 years to get them ready to come in on these cheap deals. And this is sort of where, ideally, it starts to look like Chicago. You know, you have to let Chris Versteeg leave. You have to let David Boland leave. You have to let Dustin Byfuglien or Andrew Ladd leave. And in a perfect world, you have kids ready to fill those voids, right? You keep the core together, your Taves, your Kane, your Hossa, your Keith, your Seabrook, and you start to bring in the Brandon Sods, right, and the Andrew Shaws and these sorts of guys to be those bit pieces. And then when they get to the point where they need a big raise, you shed them and move on. And again, hopefully keep filling those pieces in. And that's why it's so important to have this huge stable of capable kids coming all the time. so that they can kind of surround your core at lower dollars. And so right now, that's what Connor Brown is. In 3 years, if he wants $4 or $5 million, which he might be up for, because now you're buying UFA years, you've shown that you can do this over a 2-3 year period, put up good numbers, you know, that's what he'll be deserving. But there's a good chance the Leafs won't be the team that are able to give it to him. So this right now is a slam dunk deal for Toronto and, you know, kind of a show me thing for Connor Brown. He's going to, for 2 or 3 years, try and put those numbers up again and then see what happens, right? And get his big raise from somebody, no doubt. So we're not going to sit here all night or all morning, whatever, and talk about it. I just wanted to pop on quickly as this broke kind of during the mayhem that was the Mayweather-McGregor pre-fight stuff. This all came out on Saturday night. So that had kind of been the focus. It was kind of buried a little bit. And just wanted to jump on quickly, break it down a little bit. It's a great deal for the Leafs. I'm excited to have them back. You should be as well. And, you know, we'll move on from that. Some great stuff on the network right now. Talkan Sports 161, Fight Guy. Matty Lang joined us, helped us break down the fight a little bit. On 160, Rob and I had an interesting debate on that NHL Network list of the top 20 centers in the league. And they listed Austin Matthews at number 4, which of course got Rob all fired up and whatever. So we had to kick that around for a bit. That's gotten some interesting conversations going on Twitter with people weighing in with their opinions. You can check that out. Like I said, more stuff to come this week from both Rob and myself. New audio Whiplash, more Talkan Sports. Like I said, Labor Day just around the corner. And then we're into NHL camps opening up. The NFL fires up. We're into the MLB playoff race. Things get real exciting. Everybody talks about, you know, April being, you know, that really exciting time of year for a sports fan, right? As you come down to the basketball and hockey playoffs, MLB's starting up. For me, might be September, October, as baseball is into the playoffs. I think baseball has some of the most intense playoffs, right? Like in terms of, oh my God, every pitch becomes so important. And you've seen that if you've been a Jays fan over the last couple of years, how you kind of live and die on every pitch. So that's cool. NFL at that point is in full swing and you've got your basketball and your hockey firing up. So exciting time of year. One of the best times of year to be a sports fan. You can check those out. Like I said, there will be an all new audio Whiplash as well. Stick around for that. Join the conversation with us. Facebook.com/TallCanAudio or at TallCanAudio on Twitter. My name's Matt Robinson. This has been Unforced Errors number 56 on the Talkan Audio Network, and we'll see you later on this week.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit TallCanAudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at TallCanAudio.